بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد صدق الله العظيم. Respected mothers and sisters, in our brief discussion today, I wanted to speak about something and alert myself and you and remind one another. We are living in a time where it's become the norm of the day, where people monitor their health, monitor their sugar, their cholesterol levels, people monitor their diabetes levels, etc. But when we look into the lives of our pious predecessors, then we find that they used to monitor their spirituality. And that's what the focus I want to speak on today. We see to our health, our appearance, our beauty, the cosmetic industry and the rest of it. But how often and how repeated do we monitor our spirituality? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu anhu, "In istata'ta an tusbih wa tumsi wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin min al-muslimin fa'al." O Anas, every morning and evening check your heart and make sure that it does not harbor jealousy or malice or antagonism for any person. That's the literal clear words of the hadith. Every morning and evening, we check our sugar before a meal, after a meal, we check our cholesterol, when we indulge, before we indulge, after we indulge. And we do that, and in principle that is fine and it's necessary, we need a healthy body. But I'm saying it mustn't be that we know this and we monitor this. Like I often say to people, we are acquainted with our history, our family history, our political history, the history in this land. But how much do we know about the history of Islam? We know all the other facts in it, but when it comes to deen. So we monitor in the physical side, and we need to know and remind ourselves that the external, this physical body that we have, this is a casein. The actual human is the soul. This physical body would be consumed in the grave by the insects of the earth. But that which will journey beyond and travel and traverse beyond is the soul. So, O Anas, check yourself in the morning and the evening and make sure that there isn't any malice in it. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. Because this is one of my practices. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. And whoever loves my practice loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي. And whoever loves me, then he will walk with me, or she will walk with me, or they will be with me in Jannah. Now I want to share with you an incident of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh. Maymun ibn Mahran. Maymun ibn Mahran was one of the ministers during the period of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So he said, I went to go visit Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, and I found him writing a letter to his son. فَوَجَدْتُهُ يَكْتُبُ رِسَالَةً إِلَىٰ إِبْنِهِ عَبْدِ الْمَلِكِ يَعِذُهُ فِيهَا وَيَنْصَحُهُ وَيُبَصِّرُهُ وَيُحَذِّرُهُ. And in that he was advising his son, he was giving him some, you know, valuable input about life. Avoid this, remember this, do this, don't do this. وَكَانَ مِمَّا جَاءَ. And part of the discussion and part of the letter was, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ أَحَقَّ مَنْ وَعَى عَنِّي وَفَهِمَ قَوْلِي لَأَنْتَ. Oh my son, from all the children that I enjoy, you probably my most intelligent son. You are my probably the most wise child that Allah has given me. And Allah has blessed him with many children. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْنَا فِي صَغِيرِ الْأَمْرِ وَكَبِيرِ. And Allah has blessed us and our family, you and myself, from the smallest of things to the biggest of things. Allah has given us a lot. فَذْكُرْ يَا بُنَيَّ فَضْلَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْكَ. So every day, oh my son, you need to remind and refresh yourself of the bounties of Allah upon you. One of the challenges that we face today with the young generation is they simply cannot wait. There's simply nothing like patience in the life of this young generation. It's instant. Everything has to happen now. From what I want, to what I want to achieve, to what I want to consume, everything has to be instant. It's a world of instant, achievements. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْنَا فِي صَغِيرِ الْأَمْرِ وَكَبِيرِ فَاذْكُرْ يَا بُنَيَّ فَضْلَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْكَ وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبَرَ وَالْعَظَمَةَ. And oh my son, avoid and stay away from pride, haughtiness and arrogance. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Because pride and arrogance is something what Allah dislikes. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah says in the 27 Jews and in other Jews, Allah dislikes Mukhtar and Fakhur. The scholars tell us Mukhtar refers to a person who is proud about inner abilities. For example, Allah has blessed her with beauty. Allah has blessed her with intelligence. While Fakhur would refer to someone whom Allah has blessed with prominence. Allah has blessed with fame. Allah has blessed with wealth. So whether it is your inward bounties or your outward bounties, Allah doesn't like those that flash it, those that are proud, that are arrogant. The other day I was mentioning this, and I'll say it again, that when a person performs good, then as a believer we are supposed to rejoice over our good deeds. But there's a fine line between rejoicing and pride. I need to feel happy that Allah gave me the ability to do good, but I can't feel proud about it. In Ma'riful Quran, there's an incident mention of a person that he was a very pious person, and he had this eminent glow and brilliance on his face. When he went for Hajj, which people thought was now going to increase his glow and his nur and his brightness, when he returned, there was a sense of darkness on his face. There was a sense of, you know, the nur was gone. And then he went to a pious person and he asked him, why has this happened? Why has this, adversely impacted on me? He said, before you embarked on Hajj, there was a sense of humility in you. But now, you don't have joy over the fact that you perform Hajj, you have pride over the fact that you perform. So the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is that a believer is one whose good deeds make him happy. But we need to create a distinction between happiness and pride and arrogance. In fact, there is a quotation in Babul Ujb, in Tanbihul Ghafilin, where a person says, one of the pious, he said, I would prefer missing my tahajjud and oversleeping, not for us, but my tahajjud, and getting up in the morning and regretting, then offering prayer the whole night and getting up in the morning proud. لَأَنْ أُصْبِحَ نَادِمًا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ. To get up in the morning and I regret that, oops, you know what, I overslept and I didn't make it for my tahajjud, then to get up. So we need to be happy, that is important, but we must make a distinction between happiness and pride. May Allah protect us from pride, because that then ruins and destroys all the good that we've performed. So, oh my son, avoid pride. Now, I'm saying to myself and to you, my sister, we monitor things. Do we monitor pride? Do I have pride? Do I have? How I'm behaving? What I'm doing? The incident of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, where he was walking and then unintentionally he just nudged someone and he said, please move aside from the road. And the man moved aside and he went on. And then it started pricking the conscience of Umar. And then it started bothering, and Umar sat down and he started chastising himself. And he said, Umar, that was abusing of your authority. And then later he met the man and he said, are you going for Hajj? He said, yes. And he took him inside and then he gave him 600 dirhams. And he said, Istaghin bihada ala hajjik. Use this in your Hajj. Wa'alam bi'annaha min al-khafaqati allati khafaqtuka 'ama awwal. And I'm giving you this to offset the abuse of authority that I had done to you. So we have to ask ourselves questions. Anyway, he said, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبَرَ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَهُوَ لِلْعَدُوِّ وَهُوَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. And the devil is an arch enemy of man. وَعَلَمْ أَنِّي لَمْ أَبْعَثْ إِلَيْكَ بِكِتَابِي هَذَا لِأَمْرٍ بَلَغَنِي عَنْهُ. فَمَا عَرَفْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِكَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. That, oh my son, I only know good about you. غير أنه, however, I've been getting some whispers from you, some hints from you of pride. And if you're not going to stop this, curb this, curtail this, put an end to it, then you're going to be exposed to a very unpleasant side of me, which perhaps you've never seen. Then Maymun ibn Mahran said, I was sitting there, so Umar ibn Abdul Aziz looked at me and he said, oh Maymun, inna ibni Abd al-Malik qad zuyyina fi ayni. Today I want to make a confession to you. My son Abdul Malik, I love him too dearly. And I have been gripped in the malady that grips the average parent. And what is that? Blindness to the faults of their own children. وَأَدْرَكَنِي my son is never wrong. My daughter is never wrong. Never. وَأَدْرَكَنِي مَا يُدْرِكُ الْآبَى مِنَ الْعَمَى عَنْ عُيُوبِ أَوْلَادِهِمْ. So, I need you to do me a favor. And I said my focus is, as we monitor in our physical health, we need to monitor our spirituality. Constantly, this thought came in me, this whisper came in me, this gesture I did. Is this right? Is this behavior correct? Are these thoughts correct? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, many a times a person will utter a statement, and the statement is incorrect. It is something that earns the wrath of Allah. But then he doesn't go and get an explanation, or he doesn't go and get some advice on it. He appeases himself. And inside him there are two voices and two whispers. One is telling him, no man, you shouldn't be talking like this. That's not the way you behave with people. And then the other whisper within him, no, if I'm not going to tell him, who'll tell him? Somebody has to tell him. When my sugar is high, then I never tell myself, well, I'm not the only one with high sugar. It's fine, everybody got high sugar. No, if others die, that's their problem. I need to bring my sugar under control. Somebody else's cholesterol is high. Then we look at the rare case of the person, or the seldom case of a person who died with high sugar, and we don't look at the rate of those that had high sugar and lived. Why? Because my health is at risk. But when then what does he say? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he comforts himself and he says, "Ma yara biha ba'asa." I don't think that statement is so bad. Nabi alayhi salam says that statement is so bad. Yuzillu biha fi nari jahannam ab'ada ma bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib. It results in his collapse into hell, a distance which is wider than the distance between east and the west. And the ulama say that the controlling of the tongue, you know, in 100 you'll find 10 people that perform salah, and in 100 you'll find 5 people that give zakat, but you'll be lucky if you'll find 1 person in 100 that takes care of his tongue. You'll be lucky if you'll find 1 person in 100 that harnesses his tongue and takes care. Thakilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. When Nabi Sassam gave Sayyidina Mu'adh a lot of advices, and they said, oh Nabi of Allah, can you summarize it? And then he said, he pointed to his blessed tongue and he said, take care of this, take care of this. The Arabic proverb is very common, jirmuhu saghir, jurmuhu kabir. The flesh is small, the crime is great. Anyway, he said to Maymoon, he said, listen, go to my son, man. I adore my son and I like him too much. And I think my love for him has overstepped my concern and I've become blinded with his wrong. So please go there, monitor him and let me know what's happening. So anyway, Maymoon ibn Mahran said, I got ready and I went. You know, sometimes when you want to take care of a person, you say, you go to him, you just pick him up, he like it or not, you put him there, take him to the x-ray department, you do this x-ray, you do this blood results, I need to do it immediately. He's delaying this, he's procrastinating, it's not going to happen. We need to intervene and we need to do it now and we have to do it. You just go there, make an appointment, just pick him up and tell him, you know what, we're taking him into theater and we're doing what needs to be done. Such are the drastic and aggressive measures we institute for our health, which in principle is fine. But what about taking active measures for our deen? What about taking active measures that, listen, I need to nip this in the bud. This is pride, this is arrogance, this needs to be sorted out. So anyway, he says, I came there and I found this person, في مقتبل العمر, young boy, ريان الشباب, بهي الطلعة, جم التواضع, you know, an embodiment of humility. جلس على حشية بيضاء فوق بساط من شعر. He was very impressive, you know, young boy, good looking, impressive in his appearance. فرحب بي, he welcomed me, and he said to me, لقد سمعت أبي يذكرك بما أنت أهل له من الخير. My dad always raves about you, O Maymoon ibn Mahran. My dad always, his mouth is full about your praises. So I reciprocated it. Maymoon ibn Mahran said, and I said, I've heard equally a lot about you. Anyway, I asked him, كيف تجد نفسك? How do you find yourself? كيف تجد نفسك? He said, بخير من الله عز وجل. بخير من الله عز وجل. I find myself in a good state. غير أني أخشى أن يكون قد غرني حسن ظن والدي بي وأنا لم أبلغ من الفضل كل ما أظن. But this is one thing that concerns me, and I think my dad overrates me. The young boy is saying that I'm afraid, I think my dad overrates me. He puts me on a pedestal, I'm not on that level. And I'm afraid that, you know what, I'm getting conceited about myself. I often say to people, and I'll say it again, that many times I go to a talk and people give a flowery introduction. And the easiest way for me to suppress this arrogance of the ego is that at that time, if this person who's introducing me only knew half of my wrong, he would have never said anything lavish like he's saying. He's only saying what he's saying is because he doesn't know the other side of it. In Muslim Sharif, in the first volume, in the Muqaddama on page 20, there's an incident mentioned there of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, I had heard about this person of Abdullah ibn Muharrir. I had heard so many things about him. I was so desirous to meet him that I actually said, Ya Allah, if I die without meeting him and tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah I have a choice to meet him and then go to Jannah or go to Jannah and not meet him, I would say to my Allah, I will delay my entry into Jannah when I meet him first and then go. Such was my passion. لو خيرت بين أن أدخل الجنة وبين أن ألقى عبد الله لاخترت أن ألقاه ثم أدخل الجنة. So such was my passion. I heard so much about the man. Then it so happened that I met him in the world. Lo and behold, when I literally met the man and I seen him and sat with him closer, I had an anticlimax. I realized the man is nothing near what I heard. I won't equate him to an ordinary mortal. Nay, I'll consider the droppings of an animal to be more precious than him. Say in Muslim Sharif in the Muqaddam on page 20. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُهُ كَانَتْ بَعْرَةٌ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ. The droppings of an animal, when I got close up to him, the stench that I got from him, I said, hey, you know what I heard of this man, I wanted to delay my entry into Jannah. And when I finally met the man and I got up close, I said, rather from an arm's length than I hear and I believe than getting any closer and realizing the other things. So look at this young boy. How conscious he was. He says, I think, no man, my dad has overrated me and I need to really take stock of myself. So Maymun ibn Mahran said, فَعَجِبْتُ مِنْ اِتِّفَاقِهِمَا. I was amazed that the father is saying, I think I have overrated my son, and the son is reciprocating the same thing. Yeah, if the father is saying, then the son is saying, no, my dad, you know what, he's just got an opinion, or he just thinks bad, or he thinks negative. So it's not going to be a balance, it's not going to be synced together. Anyway, I got chatting with him. I said, مِنْ أَيْنَ مَعِيشَتُ. What's your livelihood? He said, مِنْ غَلَّةِ أَرْضٍ اشْتَرَيْتُهَا مِمَّنْ وَرِثَهَا عَنْ أَبِيهِ وَدَفَعْتُ ثَمَنَهَا مِنْ مَالٍ لَا شُبْهَةَ فِيهِ فَاسْتَغْنَيْتُ بِذَلِكَ عَنْ فَيْءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. مِنْ غَلَّةِ أَرْضٍ, I had bought a land, اشْتَرَيْتُهَا مِمَّنْ وَرِثَهَا عَنْ أَبِيهِ, and the land from whom, the person from whom I bought it, he had inherited it from his father. Look at the full track record. You know a person has done something wrong, you buy it. You say, yeah, but that's his baby. Me, I bought it halal. But you know there's somebody else's sweat in it. You know there's something haram. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, for me to refuse a doubtful dirham constitutes greater piety than giving 600,000 in charity. لَأَنْ أَرُدَّ دِرْهَمًا مِّنْ شُبْهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَتَصَدَّقْ بِسِتِّمِئَةِ أَلْفِ. I'll write it, you know what, that's a doubtful, that's a haram. No, I'm not going to touch that here. For me, I got closer to Allah by declining that than giving lavish amounts in charity. So he gave the full record. Where's your income from? I bought a land from a man who inherited from his father. And this was clean and pure money. And in doing so, Allah made me independent of drawing money from the national treasury. So I don't draw money as much as my father is the Amir, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. But I've got my own income. And that is the teachings of Islam. The teachings of Islam. Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had different professions. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam used to make armor. And we know the tale behind his armor. He used to go into the, this is mentioned in Mariful Quran. He used to camouflage himself and go in the marketplace as an ordinary simple person. And then he would meet someone and say, brother, you know Dawood? He said, yeah, I know. He said, what's your opinion about Dawood? To go and reform themselves, to find out what is the view of the masses. Today's leaders are told what the masses believe about them. It makes no difference. Who cares? Someone came to Hakimul Ummat, Rahmatullah Alayh, and he said, sorry, I came to apologize to you. The truth is, I've been backbiting about you. I want to be honest. Face, I was backbiting. Please forgive me. He said, I will only forgive you if you first divulge the backbiting that you were speaking. First tell me what you said. Because while it was a sin for you to speak about my wrong, but maybe that is a wrong of mine. And if you don't tell me, how will I reform it? Can you imagine these people? He comes to Mullah Shafari Tanwir Rahmatullah Ali. He said, Hazrat, I've been making ghibat about you. I want to be honest about it. Please forgive me. He said, no, I'll forgive you with one condition. It's wrong for you to discuss it, because that's exactly what comes in the hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Dhikruka akhaka bima yakra." To speak ill of your brother in his absence is ghibat. So the Sahabi said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, you classifying this as ghibat, but what if my brother is guilty of the wrong?" The Prophet of Allah said, "That precisely is ghibat, because if he's not guilty of it, then that's an accusation." أرأيت إن كان فيه ما أقول إن كان فيه ما تقول فقد اغتبته وإن لم يكن فيه ما تقول فقد بهته. The Sahabi was trying to say that, but isn't mine his explanation otherwise, because he is guilty. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, well, that's precisely what ghibat is, that the man is guilty, because if he's not guilty, then it's an accusation. So he said, "I will forgive you. First tell me what wrong. What's the wrong? Not to expose you further or embarrass you deeper, but so that I can realize, because I cannot see myself. I cannot see myself. So you are seeing me through a different eye, so I need to reform myself." Like, my focus of my talk is, we are conscious, we monitor in our health, we need to monitor our spirituality. We need to watch ourselves, how we talking, what we doing, how we be. Is this right? Is this okay? Is this correct? These thoughts, these whispers, these ideas, these dreams, what is this? So Dawud al-Islam would go to the people and ask. So one day Allah sent an angel in a human form. The angel knew this was Dawud. Dawud didn't know this was the angel. So Dawud al-Islam thinks it's a mortal. Like the story about Lut al-Islam is mentioned in the Quran, that some people came to his house in the form of young lads. And due to the condition of that nation, he became afraid. These were visitors and they were young lads. So he said to them, "Please, you know what? My nation might just pounce on you." So they said to Lut alayhi salam, "Inna rusulu rabbik." "Don't fear, we are in the appearance of humans, we are angels. We are angels. Nobody can come to us. We are angels." So the angel meets Dawud alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam said, "The brother, you know Dawud?" He said, "Yeah, I know Dawud. What's your opinion on Dawud? Dawud is a good man. Just one thing, man. He's drawing funds from the national treasury. If he can just try and get some financial independence, I mean, he's the Nabi of Allah. He's the Nabi of Allah." Sayyidina Umar, when he became the Khalifa, he said, "The only rights I have over the national authority, the national treasury, is like the guardian of an orphan has over the wealth of an orphan. That is my control over this money." And if you read the verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned very, very strict warnings regarding those that are the guardians of orphans. وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًّا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ وَمَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That if your brother's child passes away, or your brother passes away and you take care of that child, and Allah has blessed you, then take care of the child and provide the child, and don't take anything from his inheritance. But if you are not even breaking even yourself, and here comes in another child, then you can take within reason. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِحِ. And Allah knows who's bringing this orphan in the house to benefit him, and Allah equally knows who's bringing this orphan in the house to drain and milk his assets and his inheritance and exploit him. The verse of the Quran. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا وَبِدَارًا أَنْ يَكْبَرُوا. And some people, what they used to do, they used to splash the wealth of that orphan on that orphan unnecessarily. So by the time he's baligh, I don't have to give hisab. Your father died when you were 2. From 2 till 12, I spent everything on you. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا وَبِدَارًا أَنْ يَكْبَرُوا. And don't eat it quickly, and don't abuse it, that before he gets done, then at least I know my hisab is over. And I must say something, a thought came in my mind, and I bounced it off one of my teachers, and he gave me his approval. This is something that while I was teaching the ayah, today one of the challenges and the difficulties we face with our children is that too early they have too much. In the lap of luxury at a too early stage. Allah says to the guardians of the orphans, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. That man who leaves behind children, don't give that wealth to that orphan if he does not develop maturity. It is his money. It belongs to that child. But till you don't see responsibility, maturity and understanding, don't give him his own money. How can we give our money to our children when they don't have responsibility? Ya Allah is saying, don't give that child his own money. وَبْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَ and test them. The ulama say in this ayah, let them do some basic dealing. You have so much money, I want to see how you spend this, budget this, use this year. Has he got basic skills of budgeting? Has he got basic understanding? Doesn't he want to buy this? Yes, so much, do this. If he has that, then give it to him. And if he does not, there's a debate among scholars that if he doesn't mature, physically he matures, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, he doesn't have that maturity. Some scholars say you should not give to him. Recently I was involved in a particular case where a youngster was demanding his money from the estate of his father, but unfortunately he has a drug habit. فَإِنْ أَنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا if you see maturity, فَدْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ then only you give the money. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi's view is, if at the age of 15 the child is not mature, then you can stall it for another 10 years, up till 25. Because he'll take that money and splash it. I was involved in some social case not too long ago, father and son not speaking. What happened? The son went to go bust 100,000 rands in one night. Just took the dad's card, went to go swipe it, and off he went. The Quran is saying, don't give the money to that orphan to whom it belongs, if there isn't maturity. Anyway, so he said, this is the income that I have and this is how I live off it. So when he said this to Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam, immediately it struck a chord with Dawood. And he said, oh Allah, teach me a skill, Allah. Teach me a skill that I can become financially independent. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him the art of making armor. And then he used to make armor. But part of the favors of Allah upon Dawood alayhi salam was that the iron would just bend and melt for him with his hands. وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ And also here we learn something, because I'm touching on the topic. Allah then gave him directions in the Quran how to make the armor. And Allah told him, do a thorough job. A lot of times in our society, in our circles, we have this, no. You do something of this dunya, you don't have to be thorough. That is a myth. That is not the teachings of Islam. Allah told Dawood, make an armor. Ani'mal make. Sabiqatin, broad armor. Qaddir fis sardi. Measure and proportion the links, that there is consistency in the links. So it fits in. Qaddir, sard means to weave. Qaddir, measure. There are two explanations of Qaddir. One is the armor must look neat, must look presentable, do a thorough job. The second is Qaddir, fix a time to do it. Meaning let it not eat up your whole day. While you need to generate a revenue, but there must be a timetable. Sometime for your other things, sometimes for this. All this is encapsulated under the word Qaddir. Qaddir fis sardi, and after doing all this and earning the revenue, fa'malu saliha, do good actions. Inni bima ta'maluna basir. Then Maymun ibn Mihran said, I asked the young boy, Umar ibn Abdul Malik, the son of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, ma ta'amuk, what do you eat? He said, laylatan lahmun, one night I'll have meat, laylatan adasun wa zaytun, I'll have olive oil and I'll have some lentils, wa laylatan khallun wa zaytun, and sometimes I'll have vinegar and I will have olives. And that's pretty much my menu. Our one table cloth has more than his whole menu. We sat on one eating, it's more than that. This was my menu. That was it. It revolved around these three things. And if you look at all these three things, they are wholesome. And today we're living in a world, I mentioned that last night, as in a casual gathering, there's an English saying that goes like this, eat your food like medication. Otherwise you'll have to eat your medication like food. Eat your food like medication. Not driven by your taste buds. This is good for your liver, this is good for your kidneys, this is good for your brain, this is good for your this here. Eat it like that. Your food like medication. This is good for this. Not what's good for you. Otherwise you'll have to eat your medication like food. And today we are eating our medication like food. Oh, what are the average grandchildren doing today when they're small with their grandparents? Their thrill is to give the nanny and daddy tablets. That's it. That's the excitement. Give the tablet, give this here, this one, that one. It's just become a whole poem. So this is my food. وَفِيهَا ذَا بَلَاغ. Then I started chatting with him. I said, MashaAllah, you're the son of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. prominent man like that, don't you think that sometimes you feel a bit proud about yourself? You hear about whispers, who's your father? You come from a great lineage and that. If somebody tell us, no, shukr, alhamdulillah, we go our umrah regularly and everything. So never like that. He said, you're right, I do get these whispers. قَدْ كَانَ فِيَّ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ فَلَمَّا وَعَظَنِي أَبِي بَصَّرَنِي بِحَقِيقَةِ نَفْسِي وَصَغَّرَهَا عِنْدِي. My dad keeps on telling, every time my father talks to me, you meet, my son, please, I don't want pride, I don't want arrogance, I don't want pride, I don't want arrogance. Every time. So he's really, you know what, deflated my ego. He's deflated my ego. فَقَعَدْتُ سَاعَةً أُحَدِّثُهُ وَأَسْتَمِعُ بِمَنْتِقِ. I'm sitting, I'm chatting, I'm learning, we're sharing, we're exchanging. In English, the saying is, every person you meet in life knows at least one thing you don't know. Be sure not to leave him till you don't learn it. Every person you meet in at the airport, travel, you pick up one thing from everyone. Everybody's got one amazing quality. And just need to pick up on that quality of that person, and mashallah, it will go a long way. It will go a long way. So anyway, we started chatting and we had a good chat and I was very impressed. Just then somebody comes and he says, Aslahakallah, Your Majesty, Qad faragna, we done. So Abdul Malik said, okay, appreciated. So Mimun ibn Mehran said, I said, sorry, if I'm not being too nosy, what was the reference and what is he done and what is he telling you? Ma hadha alladhi faraghu minhu? Qala al-hammam. He says, no, it's these communal showers, these hot showers. So they just clear it up for me so that I could go and use the facility for myself. So Mimun ibn Mehran said, when I heard this, I said to him, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ وَقَعْتَ مِنْ نَفْسِي مَوْقِعًا عَظِيمًا حَتَّى سَمِعْتُ هَذَا. Listen, I had a great opinion about you, man, but I am very disgusted and I am absolutely, you know what, offended to know that this is the condition. So Abdul Malik said, but what's so evil about this here? It is a communal shower which people use as well, and I just asked them to clear it up for me so that I could use it myself. So Maymun ibn Mahran said, immediately I told him, مَا الَّذِي دَعَاكَ أَن تُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنْهُ. Why must they vacate the premises for you? كَأَنَّكَ تُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ أَن تَرْفَعَ نَفْسَكَ فَوْقَهُمْ. So you want to show that you want above. You do things in a different way. You loud, you big, you flamboyant, you colorful, you the man. And besides that, what about others that want to come and use the facility? You deny them access. So Abdul Malik said, أَمَّا صَاحِبُ الْحَمَّامِ فَأَنَا أُعْطِيهِ غَلَّةَ يَوْمِهِ. The man who owns the facility, I will pay him the revenue of a whole day, he must just leave it for me. He said, you see, that's your pride talking. That's your pride talking. هَذِهِ نَفَقَةُ صَرْفٍ. Because you got money, you can say that. So, no, you said I'm denying the man his revenue because I'm going there exclusively. So we will tell him that, listen, whatever the takings are for the period that I'm going to use it, you just leave it free for me and I will cover you myself completely. He said, هَذِهِ نَفَقَةُ صَرْفٍ. That is extravagance. خَالَتَهَا كِبْرٌ. Brimming with arrogance. Brimming with arrogance. وَمَا يَمْنَعُكَ أَن تَدْخُلَ الْحَمَّامَ مَعَ النَّاسِ. What I'm saying is, we monitor our health and everything. In terms of our spirituality, we got third degree cancer. We got advanced level. We chronic. We are really into an advanced level of crisis. But we've never bothered about it. What stops you from using the facility with others? He says, يَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ طَائِفَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ الْحَمَّامَ بِغَيْرِ أُزُرٍ فَأَكْرَهُ رُؤْيَةَ عَوْرَاتِهِمْ. The reason is many people use the facility and they are not modestly clad. We hear of people going to gyms and then there's change rooms and there's things that happen there that are not becoming for a believer to be exposed to. The words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Ali, لا تنظر إلى فخذ حي وميت. Oh Ali, don't look at the thigh, the leg, the upper leg of a living or dead person. Do not let the teachings of Islam is so modesty that even when we give in ghusl to the dead person, even at that time we observe respect and dignity. We observe respect and dignity to the deceased, that the body needs to remain covered. The body needs to remain concealed. If ever, Allah forbid, you are in a situation, the first thing you should do as a believer is to cover the body. That is respect. So the reason why I don't access the facility, because there are many people that come here and they are scantily dressed. They are not dressed in a modest way. And then inevitably I get exposed to their private area, which I'm not comfortable with. وَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أُجْبِرَهُمْ عَلَى وَضْعِ الْأُذُرِ فَيَأْخُذُ ذَلِكَ عَلَى أَنَّهُ سُلْطَانٌ مِنِّي. And I don't want to compel them, because then they will interpret it that I'm abusing my political muscle and clout. Yeah, because you're the son of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, so you just want to push your luck, you just want to do things. So that is why I asked them to clear it for me, so that I can go there and take my ghusl and then come out. But really speaking, Maymun ibn Mehran, as you have advised me, idni maw'ibatan antafi, give me a way out, provide me an opening how I can come out of this here, so that I don't water my ego, and at the same time I don't get exposed. He said, I will tell it to you. Intazir hatta yakhruj an-nasu laylan. Don't put anybody to man the post, and don't put anybody to clear the premises. You wait till the last person has left, and everybody is done for the day by their own time. Then you access the facility. These are people who are monitoring themselves. He says, I will do as you have told. وَلَوْلَا شِدَّةُ هَذِهِ الْبِلَادِ مَا دَخَلْتُهُ أَبَدًا. And honestly, if it wasn't the coldness of this place, I wouldn't have been using this facility. But it is so cold, so that is why I have to use it. But I appreciate your advice. There was a pause, there was a silence. And then the young boy raised his head and he said to Maymun ibn Mehran, أَقْسَمُ عَلَيْكَ أَقْسَمْتُ عَلَيْكَ لَتَتْوِيَنَّ هَذَا الْخَبْرَ عَنْ أَبِي. Please, when you go back to my father, don't report on this issue. فَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ أَن يَظَلَّ سَاخِتًا عَلَيَّ. Because I'm afraid that this might anger the old man. And I don't want to die while he's angry. This might just offend and anger and leave my father uneasy about the whole thing. And I don't want to die in this state. So Maymun ibn Mehran said, he gave me an opening. I said, I'm going to put it to test now. Uridu an asbir aqlahu, I'm going to test him. So I said to him, so basically you want me to lie? You want me to go and tell your dad that all is good and you're fine and you're in a good situation? So he said, no. I'm not saying you must say this. What you should tell my dad, ra'aytu minhu shay'a. I seen your son, I met him. I observed there were some stray shrubs. To use paraphrasing here. There were some things that needed to be addressed. فَوَعَبْتُهُ وَكَبَّرْتُهُ فِي عَيْنِهِ. I advised your son accordingly, and I magnified the problem to him. And I told him, this needs serious attention in your life, otherwise this is pride growing in you. Sometimes how do our youngsters speak to the servants? How do they speak to the subordinates? فَوَعَبْتُهُ, I advised him, وَكَبَّرْتُهُ فِي عَيْنِهِ. And I told him, this is serious. فَسَارَعَ إِلَى الرُّجُوعِ. Then tell my dad that your son hastened to rectify himself. Your son hastened to make amends. فَإِنَّ أَبِي لَا يَسْأَلُكَ عَنْ كَشْفِ مَا لَمْ تُظْهِرْهُ لَهُ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَعَاذَهُ عَنِ الْبَحْثِ عَمَّا اسْتَتَرَ. He said, you just tell my dad that, yeah, your son, I noticed certain things, but I've addressed it and we've nipped it in the bud and it's resolved. My dad, Allah has saved him from probing things which hasn't been revealed to him. My dad is not a person that, no, what, when, how, where, who. That's not my dad. If you just talk to him and hint it, my dad will say, as long as you've addressed the issue, he's happy. Maymun ibn Mehran said, فَلَمْ أَرَ وَالِدًا وَلَا وَلَدًا قَتُّ أَفْضَلْ مِنْهُمَا. I've lived long and I've seen a lot. But trust me, I haven't seen a dad like this. I haven't seen a son like this. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, we take care of our physical well-being, which is imperative, which is noble, is meritorious. But we need to put our finger on the pulse in terms of our spirituality as well. What are my actions? What are my statements? What is my behavior? What does this constitute? What is the outcome of this? What would happen on the day of Qiyamah? Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, someone says, I met Abu Dharr at Rabada. And I found that Abu Dharr, master and slave, were clad in one dress. Now, which one of us can do that? Master and slave in the same dress, same garment. So I mustered the courage and I said, Abu Dharr, have you promoted your slave or have you demoted yourself? How is it that there's no distinction between the two of you? He said, one day in a fit of rage, I made a racial comment to my slave. And I said something that was unbecoming. Nabi Sassam overheard me. He said, Abu Dharr, you've accepted Islam and you've reverted to the faith and you are blessed with my company, but some of the practices of Jahiliyyah hasn't yet left you. Innakam ru'un fika jahiliyyah. Innakam ru'un fika jahiliyyah. And then he said that your slave is your brother. Deal with him in an appropriate way and do not burden him. So since then I have vowed to myself that the discipline I'm going to institute on myself is that I am going to now clad him in the same dress. Do you know what a blow that is to your ego? In many a time when you see your employee wearing something of your brand, you start thinking otherwise, is my jacket not missing? You start casting aspersions and doubtful eyes on him to say what happened and where it happened. So these were people that were very, very watchful over their spirituality. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam's incident is very famous. That he was preparing his horses to go out in the path of Allah. But as he was occupied in everything, the sun set and his asr salah got qaza. And some say it was not qaza, it was makruh. It wasn't completely set. Hatta tawarat bil hijab. Until the sun hid itself in the cover. And then he said, oops, what have I done? I've lost the essence. I'm supposed to do something noble, but at the cost of my prayer. This is rudduha alay. Bring those horses here. Some say there were 100, others say there were less. فَتَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. And then he slaughtered all those 100 horses and he said, give it in charity. One day I gave this talk and I just have a flash of it. You know, because we don't know what potential Allah has kept in the ummah. We just need to tap it and you would be amazed what abilities people have. So a doctor was present there and he came to me and he said, this has really hit my heart. And I'm making a vow and I'm asking for your advice. I've decided that if I don't make my Fajr Salah in the masjid, either I'm not going to open my practice that day or the takings of that day I'm going to give in charity. So what must I do? I said, no, you open your practice and you give the takings in charity. And he said, the best part of it was the day I missed my Fajr Salah, that the day my practice was buzzing the most. And he said, I've come to tell you that Alhamdulillah, I honored my word. And I was in absolute tears. I was in absolute tears. But active disciplinary measures to stop a wrong, to curtail it, and to bring about that discipline in oneself. I read a ayat of the Quran, I want to conclude with this here. That one of the du'as of the pious is, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh Allah, I am grateful to you that you've guided me. But coupled with that, I supplicate you, Allah, keep me on guidance and don't reject me after you've guided me. Allah, you've guided me, don't reject me, Allah. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمًا. And grant me goodness from you, O Allah. Surely you are the one that bestows. The Nabi of Allah used to make this dua very often. يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى طَاعَتِكَ. O the turner, the controller of hearts, please align my heart towards your obedience. So the Prophet of Allah made it once, twice. Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, are we sensing from this supplication that you fear we will ditch you, launch you, forsake you, that you're constantly imploring Allah that we remain with you? We're with you, we're not going to leave you. We're with you, we're all the way with you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the claim is not as easy as the utterance. The claim is not as easy. إِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ بَيْنَ إِسْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَانِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. That the hearts of mankind are between the fingers of Allah. Again, we don't suggest organs and limbs for Allah, meaning it's in absolute control of the Almighty. And Allah can flip and turn and rotate the heart from virtue to vice or from vice to virtue. An absolute 360 degree turn, a metamorphic change, a total transformation, or an absolute fall and collapse at any time. So a believer needs to constantly ask Allah, monitor himself watch his actions, take measures to resolve it, and to constantly ask Allah to keep him on guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect and preserve our iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala activate within us that passion. Muhammad ibn Sirin said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرٍ. When Allah favors a person, when a person favors, gives you a job, gets you married, takes you for a holiday, buys you a gift, sorts of things. But when Allah favors a person, what does Allah do? Allah activates his spirituality so much that as soon as he entertains or fantasizes wrong, his body becomes restless. This is how Allah favors a person. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا جَعَلَ لَهُ وَاعِظًا مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ يَأْمُرُهُ وَيَنْهَى. But this is now, what happens, it just becomes restless. You just see people that go on these amazing diets and that. When they're not on the diet, they're indulging and indulging. And now, they become super conscious. Either they won't indulge, or if I'm going to indulge, I'll run another half an hour. I'll be on the treadmill another hour. I need to burn this thing out here. Why? Complete change of mind. Absolute change of mind. And before the man could have a fizzy drink and have a chocolate and eat an ice cream and indulge. But once the change comes into the complete change of attitude. So when Allah guides a person, then leave alone indulging in the wrong. The sheer fantasy of a wrong leaves him restless. Why? Because now his spirituality has become very clean. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was sitting with the Sahaba, and then there was a stench. He said, some munafiqeen have been making ghibat, and that has polluted the environment. It is mentioned in Tanbih al-Ghafilin under the chapter of ghibat. So then the question was posed to certain ulama, that there's so much ghibat happening here, we don't get any bad smell. He said, no, we've become immune to the bad smell. It's not like we don't have a pleasant fragrance. So it's not like we're walking out of fragrance into bad environment. We are into the stench all the time, because where is it free? Wherever we are, whenever, it's just ghibat and just the stench. I heard regarding Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, may Allah fill his grave with nur, that he never used to make ghibat in his life. And as soon as people started speaking bad, he used to off his hearing aid. There's a friend of mine, so he's mashallah, he's a very hilarious person, and he's got a hearing problem. So he said, as soon as my wife starts complaining, I just off it. There's a place there in Joburg called Aiken Off. So he says, you see, that's where I belong. Aiken Off. Aiken Off. He said, my wife is screaming, I'm smiling. And then I realized the things are settled with the apparent, and I just switch it on again. He said, this deafness also is a ni'mat from Allah. I leave you with this quotation I read in the writings of Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, Safhatun min Sabr al-Ulama ala Shada'id al-Ilm, the perseverance of scholars in the acquisition of knowledge. In that he speaks of Ibrahim Harbi Rahmatullah Alayh. He said, Baghdad in its history never produced a scholar greater than Ibrahim Harbi, a giant greater than him. Ma akhrajat Baghdadu atamma aqlan minhu. Ka'anna kulla sha'aratin minhu aqla. It was as if every strand of hair on his head was an independent brain. That is how intelligent he was. لو قسم عقله على أهل بغداد لصاروا عقلاء. If you had to distribute his intelligence to all the people of Baghdad, everybody would have been wise, and this man would have been no less wise. They said, but what was the secret? ما عرف له غيبة لأي مسلم. In his whole life, not once can it be documented that he had ever backbited about anyone. In his whole life, it cannot be documented once. And I doubt there's one day free of backbiting in our lives. Allah protect us all. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina azab al-nar. Allahumma aslih lana dinana alladhi huwa ismatu amrina. Wa aslih lana dunyana allati fiha ma'ashuna. Wa aslih lana akhiratana allati ilayha ma'aduna. Waj'alil hayata ziyadatan lana في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله.